Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Great to have you with us. A lot to talk about today. Kevin has personally straightened out the bowl picture. Tremendous.
Yeah, we're canceling five bowls. Makes it easy.
Why do you want to cancel five bowls and take away the opportunity for five different teams?
I'm kidding.
Hey, see, you're all about cutting back.
I'm about cutting things and making things trimmer. Except myself, I can't get any trimmer, but that's a whole other topic.
Whoops. I was not going.
You were not going there. I know.
I was not bringing that up. You've actually done extremely well in that regard.
Well, I was doing well, and then I hit the wall.
Well, what happened when you hit the wall? What's that deal about?
Let's see. Some coaches would say it was a lack of motivation and to go further. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, you know what? To be honest with everybody, you've actually had a lot that you've had to deal with in the last, like, 4 or 5 months.
It's been a long 2015. I'm going to be celebrating quite a lot to ring out this year, quite frankly. There have been some good things.
Such as?
Give me about an hour. I'll come up with one.
You're a disaster. All right.
As my father used to say, you're a disaster looking for a place to happen.
Oh, that's just cruel. But coming from your father.
He was a realist.
The kind of guy I wanted to meet. I think he and I could have compared some notes.
I'm curious. what time did the plane come into the State College Regional Airport? University Park, sorry.
A little bit before 1.
Well, that's not too bad. That's not too bad at all.
A little bit before 1. That wasn't bad. They play well last. I mean, Shep Garner's 30 points is one thing. I mean, that's an obvious thing. The tempo with which he controlled the game and the maturity with which he controlled the game was really impressive last night. It was also a night. It's the second straight game where Penn State's given up just 58 points. You're going to win a lot of games where you give up just 58 points. You're going to win a lot of games when you do that. Number two, Penn State's 4-0 this year when they hold the team under 40% from the floor. Penn State out-rebounded them last night by a wide margin, which is not easy to do when you're playing zone defense. But they did. And they did that last night. Penn State's 3-0 and out-rebounding the opponent. They gave up only one offensive rebound in the second half. That's it. One offensive rebound second half against a team that missed a lot of shots. Sometimes for certain teams, their best offense is the missed shot. They get it and they're able to put it back. Not last night. Penn State made sure they could not get it back. Penn State did a great job in the defensive glass. On a night where Brandon Taylor didn't have it, Julian Moore didn't have it, and I would argue with you that Peyton Banks, I don't think he had it either. He had 9 points, but he still didn't really have it. The three seniors came off the bench and did. Career-high 9 points, Jordan Dickerson, 3 block shots. 9 points, 8 rebounds for Donovan Jack. And Devin Foster came off the bench and played really well defensively and ran an excellent floor game last night. The three seniors off the bench were big reasons why, and they won the game last night. And again, you're going to win a lot of games today in today's basketball when you're giving up only 58 points, and they've given up 58 points in each of the last two games. Penn State is now 6-3 in their last 9 ACC challenge games. They are 4-1 in their last 5 road ACC challenge games. And Shep Garner became the 41st different player in Penn State history to have a 30-point game. And it's the 80th time it's happened overall. He shot lights out. He was 8 of 12 last night. He tied a Conte Forum record for threes made by an opponent, Jose Powell of New Hampshire, 24 years ago to the day. December 2nd, 1991 was the last good 8 in the game. So, good win last night. They got Eastern Michigan coming up on Saturday. Eastern Michigan has played, without question, a mixed bag schedule. They played Michigan State, yes. Oakland, okay. Everybody else, are you kidding? I've never seen a schedule like this in my life. Madonna? Who's Madonna?
Didn't she have a few hits in the 80s?
I mean, seriously, that's one of the teams they played.
Is that a university, a college, or a what?
I'm not even going to bother looking it up.
I'm intrigued.
I've stopped looking up stuff like this, right? Because after a while, it becomes so irrelevant to me. I just look at the schedule and go, this schedule stinks.
It's Madonna University in Michigan.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it's the UP or the... Yeah, it's actually outside of Detroit.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad they play them. That's nice. That's really good. Okay. They are a team that is a high-paced team, 78 possessions a game. Penn State, 68 possessions a game. They are a team that gets 56% of their points from 2 points. They're not a great 3-point shooting team. So that's what they have coming up on Saturday at noon. Kevin was going to go, but somebody in the house fouled up the schedule.
A minor scheduling issue.
And the entire trip was about him to begin with. It's a piece of work, isn't he? But he's your piece of work.
It's all right. The university is not going anywhere. It'll be there a little bit later on in the season.
I talked to them. They're not sure.
They're not sure if they're going to move, or they're not sure they're going to open it up for us.
They're going to do it in such a way where you can't find it.
Listen, I'm just tonight, going for the free food, all right?
That just makes it an average event for you. That makes it another average event for you. Well, what do we have coming up on today's show?
Oh, I got a good one that's not on your list either. SI did a link to one of their partner sites. The 5 head coaches who may be looking for jobs even before the end of the season. I want to see if you agree. Are you ready? Here we go. Number 1, Jason Garrett.
Oh, God.
44-39 in 6 seasons as the Cowboys head coach.
Okay.
That was one of their picks. Chuck Pagano. Okay. That's a what have you done for me lately thing there, I'm sure. Sean Payton is another one on this list.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher on this list.
Okay.
And Chip Kelly is the final one on the list.
6.9 coaches per year on the average since 2000 go.
Is it really that high?
Yes. Let's see. Oh, here's your rundown. Guest Tony Knapp. Topics. What is the most compelling conference championship matchup and why? Is there a must-see championship game? Jim Boeheim loses NCAA appeal, starts suspension Saturday. Are you surprised? Does that seem right? Pirates and Alvarez part ways. Couldn't trade him. Was he too expensive? All right. So. Yeah, we got through that. Oh, I'm supposed to answer these?
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
We'll answer those questions and more. But Tony Knopf is on the show today. We got some great Tony Knopf stuff today. It's the kind of stuff that's just going to destroy your childhood. It's so good. It's so good. It's going to depress you that you woke up thinking that sports was all about lollipops. I mean, seriously. Come on. See, that Sandy Barber is the 11th most powerful woman in sports, according to Forbes magazine. Let's see. Number two in all of college sports. On the list includes Condoleezza Rice, Serena and Venus Williams.
I was going to say, the Williams sisters have to be there.
Danica Patrick, Billie Jean King,
really?
Val Ackerman. Well, look at Danica Patrick's a financial powerhouse.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Suppose it's true. Look at all the advertising she does. She's a financial powerhouse.
Yeah, but isn't she done with GoDaddy? That's been the biggest one.
Do you know how much she has going for her right now?
Are we talking about driving now, or are we talking about something else?
That'd be the equivalent of Arnold Palmer losing Zarelta. I mean, he's got so many other things. Does it really matter? Condoleezza Rice, Serena Venus Williams, Billie Jean King, Danica Patrick, Val Ackerman, Debbie Yao, Jeannie Buss, Becky Hammond, and Maria Sharapova on the distinguished list. So those are the ones, and she's 11th. On that list.
I think our new sponsor is Tax Act, or one of them is Tax Act.
It doesn't matter.
Just an observation.
It doesn't matter. I mean, that's her money. She makes money. That's fine. Lisa France Kennedy, International Speedway Corporation, number one. Let's see, who else is like, let me go through this thing, see if I can get this thing to move here. Move. Number two, Michelle Roberts, the head of the NBA Players Association. She's going to cause a huge problem before this is all said and done. Christine Dreesen, financial officer at ESPN, is number three. Let's see, they keep cutting jobs. I mean, Venus and Serena Williams are number four.
Together?
Exacto. Yes. Kim Nang from the Senior Vice President for Baseball Operations for Major League Baseball. Number six is Jeannie Buss, who is the co-owner and president of the Los Angeles Lakers. Don Hudson, Chief Marketing Officer for the NFL, is number seven. Billie Jean King is number eight. Number nine is Amy Brooks, Team Marketing and Business Operations for the NBA. Val Ackerman, the Commissioner of the Big East Conference, is 10. Sandy Barber is 11. 12 is Jillian Zucker, the president of business operations for the Clippers. Let's see, who's 13 here? Oops, I skipped by 13. That wasn't very smart of me. Condoleezza Rice, 13-member college football playoff. 14 is Sheila Johnson, who's the co-owner of the Washington Mystics, Wizards, and Capitals. Lydia Murphy Stevens is the president of the Pac-12 Network. She is 15 on the list. 16 is Debbie Yao, who's the athletic director at North Carolina State. 17 is Maria Sharapova. Let's see. 18 is Laura Gentile, who's the senior vice president for ESPNW. Christina Adams, the CEO and president of the United States Tennis Association, is 18.
Maria Sharapova.
19, I'm sorry.
Maria Sharapova is actually the third most searched athlete, according to Yahoo.
Yeah, that influences my life. Danica Patrick is number 20.
She would be the fourth most searched athlete.
Okay, why?
Well, you can expect Ronda is number one. Lindsey Vonn is number two, then Sharapova and Danica Patrick.
I mean, use your brain. Who's searching?
Katie, I understand Blackburn. That.
Katie Blackburn, the executive vice president of the Cincinnati Bengals, is number 21 on the list. No offense. Something tells me that Peyton Manning's not a big search for 18 to 25-year-olds.
Carolyn Wozniacki might actually prove your point there at number five. But Tiger Woods does check in at six.
Kathy Carter is 22, Soccer United Marketing President. So she's number 22. Yes. I mean, these are the most powerful. Sarah Robb O'Hagan, who's the president of Equinox Holdings. She's number 23. Becky Hammond, who's the assistant coach for the San Antonio Spurs, is 24. And 25 is Deidre Lester, who's the executive vice president of Whistle Sports. So Sandy Barber's 11. All right, we will come back with more in a moment. Tony Knopp today. When it's all done, Kevin, you'll be in the fetal position as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Great to have you with us. Santa Claus is on tonight. Santa will be here from 6 to 7. Do you ever get to co-host that? Or?
No. No, I'm just here to make sure the Magic Radio gets tuned in and the satellite dish is pointed right. We used to use a little older technology, but we've upgraded the satellite dish now. Although every once in a while there is a connection issue, I think there's I think the cloud cover becomes an issue.
Okay. All right. Just wondering. Just wondering if you did or not.
Whatever it takes to be on the nice list.
Oh, boy. Are you sure?
Whatever it takes to be on the nice list.
Are you sure? Tony Knopp is on today. You want to talk about the business of sports? I'll tell you right now, a heavy topic that I will get into with Tony will be the situation in Los Angeles with the NFL. And also how vulnerable Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, and the like happen to be. How many teams can L.A. reasonably support? And I'll even ask him about the Olympics, Kevin.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management at 4:06 today. It's a segment. I get great audience feedback on this all the time. There are very few segments I enjoy more, because in the end, it's what makes the world go round in sports. You have to have the cash to do it. So what makes it operate? It's a segment that Kevin hates.
And I like money, though, but I just don't like money in sports. Ruins it for me.
Well, your teams need to start spending more.
No argument for me. They're charging enough to go to the game, I can tell you that.
Oh, you don't go to games. Come on.
That's why.
You don't go to games, not because they could be charging $10, you'd be out.
Oh, no, no, no. $10 is a minor league game. I go to those.
All right, so let's get to the Kevin Hurt topics. Tomorrow, Chris Solari, Lansing State Journal. Also tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And Guy Gadowski, the Penn State men's ice hockey coach, tomorrow. That's tomorrow's show. Kevin won't be here. He'll be with Seals Grove.
I'll be on the road to Northern Lehigh.
All right. I mean, let's not make it seem like you're going to Dublin.
In high school football, that is like going to Dublin.
That's just, you know, again, the people in Jersey Shore don't like you.
No, this is not a diss on Northern Lehigh at all. It's just it's a long trip in high school football. That's all. That wasn't a diss.
Good news, by the way. Okay. I was able to go to one of the local stores. I was able to go out and buy several blocks of cheese to go with your extensive wine.
Yeah, I saw that one coming.
Yeah. Let's get to it. Your topics of the day. Pirates and Alvarez part ways. Couldn't trade them. Look, you can't. He's a DH. He's a liability in the field. He can't throw the ball competently at third base, so they move him to first base. And as a first baseman, he doesn't make your infield better. A really good first baseman makes your infield better. He doesn't do that. And then he strikes out far too much. I mean, the strikeouts versus the potential of what he does with the long ball, not worth the price. I think he'll hook on with somebody and be someone's left-handed DH in the American League. Jim Boeheim loses NCAA appeal. Suspension starts Saturday. Are you surprised? Doesn't seem right. He's a two-time offender, Kevin, on this. I mean, maybe two-time offender through longevity. And it's not as if Syracuse hasn't been under scrutiny before with him as the head coach. It's a nine-game suspension, and it starts on Saturday. I think it's actually a plus for him. He only misses two ACC games out of it. He'll be back for the third ACC game, and Syracuse gets to go to the NCAA tournament this year. So is it a just punishment? He's in charge of the program. How much he knew or didn't know, I think whomever did know it has to be permanently banned. And until they pin down exactly who that is, he has to be the one to serve the suspension.
This might be a little bit of a reach, but...
You just defined your role in the show.
Well, you mentioned that he's the head of the program. What if something comes out of this Louisville situation? Does the same type of punishment fit here because he's the head of the program?
Yeah, but here's the problem. The problem is completely different between him and Pitino. It's completely different. Because there have been repeated over and over problems with the Syracuse program, arrests and things like that. And this is the second time that he has been hit up where the program's been put on probation. He got the nine games because he's a multiple offender. And they haven't identified exactly who the issue happens to be. Now, he's fought back against it, but at the same time, does Syracuse give you that, you know, what kind of feeling does Syracuse basketball give you? I'm not, they're different situations. They are different situations, because they're talking about different items. When you talk to Santa Claus on the show, I know at some point you do. Does he start rolling your eyes or?
No. I don't know. I never see him.
Now, is there a must-see championship game? Gee, Kevin, if you're a Penn State fan, which is the must-see championship game?
Well, I would put my guess on the
probably, let's see, Clemson, North Carolina would be one to watch.
Yes, because that affects Penn State. Iowa and Michigan State does not affect Penn State. Clemson, North Carolina does. Because that's the game that determines that if Clemson wins, Florida State's probably going to the Peach Bowl, which opens the door for Penn State going to the Tax Slayer Bowl.
But but that's not what I was asking. I mean, I understand that. I'm just talking about matchup.
But they all are. Clemson, North Carolina is a quarterfinal game. If Clemson loses, they're out of it. The North Carolina winner, the Michigan State-Iowa winner, is definitely in. That is an absolute playoff quarterfinal game. The winner is in. The loser is not. So that's a quarterfinal game in the Big Ten. So that's the definition of it. Clemson, they lose, they're not going to be in it, I don't think. And then there's Ohio State not playing that could move in.
But from a distinct possibility. From a football standpoint, and I mean no disrespect to Iowa or Michigan State, but that game just, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's for the Big Ten championship. I get it. It just doesn't seem exciting to me.
Okay. I mean, the Steelers played the Ravens in the playoffs last year, and it was like, so what?
That would be exciting to me, but...
Your team lost.
Right. I'm well aware. Thanks for reminding me.
Like they usually do in the first round at home.
Just have to get the dig, don't you?
Is Antonio Brown still with the
club? Oh, yes, he's still with him. Now, moving on. I don't see Iowa a lot on TV around here, so I don't know what they have.
Yeah, but... But, Kevin, it is the one game of all the playoff game of all the games that's actually a playoff game.
I agree with
you. Where the winner is actually in. If North Carolina beats Clemson, they're not in. Even though they'll have the same record as everybody else. They've only lost once, but they claim strength of schedule and all this blah, blah, blah stuff. The Sagarin ratings are interesting. The Sagarin ratings are not used by the College Football Playoff Committee at all. Which is fine. You can pick and choose what you want to use for your analytics. But the Sagarin ratings are not used. Yet, Ohio State strength of schedule 61 of the Sagarin ratings, and North Carolina 63. Who are the over 500 teams this year that Ohio State's beaten? Michigan, Penn State, and Northern Illinois. Anybody else over 500 in that list? Virginia Tech's 500. Indiana's 500. And those are the over 500 teams they have beaten. Okay? All the other nine opponents they've faced, only one other is above 500. That's Michigan State. The other eight wins are 500 or below. Now, I'm not saying North Carolina is going to give Clemson a really, really good game. The difference between the two teams is actually on the defensive side of the ball. Clemson actually has a better, more consistent defense than North Carolina. North Carolina's offense is every bit as good as Clemson's is. Every bit as good. But defensively, Clemson's a little bit better. That game's in prime time. Michigan State-Iowa is a pure playoff game. What Stanford USC excites you, and the winner of that game goes to the Rose Bowl. They're not going to go to the playoff. Houston, does anybody care? Houston plays Temple. Anybody care? Anybody? Show of hands. The MAC championship game is the MAC championship game. So the best two games are Michigan State, Iowa, and North Carolina, Clemson. Doesn't matter whether you're excited or not.
I mean, Florida, Alabama right now is actually going as a 17.5-point Alabama favorite.
And they should, because Florida doesn't have enough offense. Will Greer is out. Right? Out. I tried to make this point in the middle of the season, how important a loss it was. Will Greer is out one full calendar year. Because of his suspension. You lose your quarterback like that. I mean, that's why when we did the pick'em thing on the game on Saturday, it came to Florida State, Florida. Right. I picked Florida State to win And the reason I picked Florida State to win is because Florida doesn't have an offense. And guess what? Jim McElwain, for all the what a great job. Guess where his area of expertise is? Offense.
I think I heard you say that on the broadcast, too, on Saturday.
He's done an awesome job. Well, the part of the football team where he's calling the plays is on offense. They're not winning. Sorry, it's not happening. Alabama will take them apart. They will not be able to stop Henry. Alabama will have more than 30 points in the game, and I don't think Florida's going to get more than two touchdowns. Maybe a touchdown, a couple field goals, 13. That's it.
Now, if you go
it's not a great matchup.
If you go just by the point spread, now I know you don't like that, but this is just, this is just something that the average person like me would go by. You're right. The two best games would be Michigan State, Iowa, and Stanford, USC.
Yeah.
With maybe Air Force San Diego State, but I'll be honest with you, that game doesn't interest me. Just on points, on point spread, that one's close.
That only has an interest in me in that Penn State's the last team to beat San Diego State. San Diego State has not lost a game since playing here. They are actually, if they win the game, San Diego State will win its 10th game of the year.
See, I think the ACC, I think that North Carolina-Clemson game, without any other implications, to me is an interesting game.
Yeah, up to a point.
Because North Carolina is really big up front.
Yeah, but nationally, it's such a regional game.
True.
Really regional. That's such a totally regional game. Where if you live in the Carolinas, okay, fine. There's no cross-section to it. At least with Michigan State and Iowa, you got the chunks of the Midwest watching. But, Chris Solari is going to join us in Lansing State Journal tomorrow to talk about a game Kevin has no interest in. We do these things just to irritate you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Let's do this day in sports history. This day in sports history. We do this to irritate you as well.
Oh, okay.
A lot of things seem to irritate you. Is there a particular reason why?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't really given it much thought. I'm irritated by thinking.
Now, why is it? Okay, let me ask you something. If it's so irritating, hey, Iowa has not played Michigan State this year. That is normally your number one criteria.
It's a very good point. Yes. I don't know. Michigan State, Iowa, I'm just not excited about that.
So you're a front runner.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not going to deny that. That may be it. Iowa's playing good football, no question about it. Michigan State's had a good season. It's not Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. It's Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah, Ohio State's beaten Michigan 10 of the last 11, or actually 11 of the last 12 years. Yeah, the game, my foot. 19. I'm kind of getting sick. I think a lot of people in the conference, around the conference, getting sick of the Michigan-Ohio State hype over the top stuff. It's kind of getting a little... Indianapolis is a place Michigan drives by. It's not a place they ever go to. 1950, Tom Fears of the Rams caught an NFL record 18 passes against the Packers. Terrell Owens then broke the record with 20 catches for 283 yards on a touchdown against the Bears in 2000. 1968, the Rules Committee of Major League Baseball announced that the 1969 pitcher's mound would be lowered from 15 to 10 inches. This was done in order to get more batting action. The strike zone also reduced from the knees to the shoulders to the top of the knees to the armpits. 88, Barry Sanders won the Heisman Trophy. And, here's one for you, 1991. This is right up your alley, Kevin. Hulk Hogan won his fourth World Wrestling Federation Championship, defeating something called The Undertaker.
Oh, I remember that. I did not watch that on pay-per-view, but I watched it later.
Let's take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jennifer Wakeman dancing in the hallway. Quite a sight. All right, let's welcome everyone back.
That's that was the theme. That was his walk-in music for years for Hulk Hogan.
I remember your walk-up music for Little League was Chariots of Fire. All right, so let's keep it rolling here. Didn't expect that one, did you?
No, no, that was quick.
Yeah, I thought so. Great to have everybody with us. Tony Knopf, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management, coming up tomorrow. We'll have on the show Chris Solari to preview the Big Ten championship game that Kevin has no interest in.
No,
but we'll actually win the ratings battle on Saturday night.
Why do you think it'll win the ratings battle? Because it's the only game on at that time, or what?
No, it's going head to head with North Carolina Clemson.
Oh, okay.
But look at the markets. Chicago, Detroit, Columbia. The Big Ten brings with it markets.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why the Big Ten commands, as opposed to the Research Triangle and the Carolinas. Even though I think Clemson, North Carolina is a really intriguing game. And there'll be a little more offense, a little more sizzle in that game, as opposed to two traditional pro-style offenses going head-to-head in Iowa and Michigan State. So we'll have Chris Solari, Lansing State Journal, on tomorrow. Also coming up tomorrow, Guy Gadowski, Penn State men's hockey coach. And tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We have a lot going on tomorrow's show. So plenty happening. Today, Tony Knopf. I know we've mentioned it a few times, but I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this segment. Kevin will be in the fetal position, just saying, this can't be about business. It can't be about money. It's about winning. It's about my team winning. Okay. You got three cities who are about to lose their football team.
You mentioned Tampa, though. I always see state. The stadium looks filled.
Tampa is not losing its team.
Oh, okay.
And Jack, No. I'm talking about St. Louis, San Diego, Oakland.
Well, okay. I thought you had mentioned Tampa in that list, and I was just saying, looks like a team Tampa, that actually gets people in the stadium, even though they're not playing great historically.
Tampa is okay, and Jacksonville's okay as markets. So is San Diego. But what do all three of them have in common? All three of them have in common that the primary driver of the economy happens to be the military. That's a primary driver of the economy. MacDill Air Force Base is down in Tampa. Jacksonville's a big military area. San Diego's a huge naval area. They do not have a lot of Fortune 500 companies in those three cities. So, for example, when you underwrite the stadium in Tampa, it's EverBank. So EverBank underwrites the stadium there. All right. EverBank, though, is not a national name. It is a regional bank. As opposed to who underwrites the stadium in Charlotte, Bank of America does. Well, Bank of America is a national brand. Well, they're headquartered in Charlotte. And you're looking at the number of Fortune 500 companies, mega companies that are located in some of these markets. Now, let's take Green Bay out of it. A lot of these other places, San Diego doesn't have companies like that. Tampa doesn't. Jacksonville doesn't. Makes a difference.